everybody. Here we go. Are you ready? We're on Ephesians 3, verses 1 to 13 this morning. And I'm going to chop some bits out because it's 20 to 12. So I'm not best practiced at putting talks together, and now I'm going to be having to work out how to chop bits out along the way. So it's going to be a really interesting morning. It's a bit of a laugh me doing this, actually, because I read this passage already when we've been going through Ephesians, and a couple of weeks ago I kind of got ahead of myself and read this passage and thought, right, okay, well, I look forward to hearing what the speaker has to say about that. It's just really funny. So when I heard on Friday afternoon that Vicky couldn't speak because she was really poorly, I was thinking, oh, blimey, who am I going to ring? Who am I going to ring? I just felt like God said, go and read the passage again. And actually, he's given me a message of real encouragement for us this morning in the light of what's coming with Larchfield next weekend. So I'm actually really excited about it. I just hope I can do justice to it. Anyway, if you get Ephesians 3, 1 to 13 up, yes, I've called this What an Amazing Life. Thank you, Liz. Because actually, that was my conclusion at the end of doing all of this study, and hopefully that will make sense to you. I'm actually going to read this from Tom Wright's version. This is one of the books that Elaine recommended. It's been a fantastic study book. I promise I haven't copied it word for word this morning. But this is his version of this passage. It's because of all this that I, Paul, the prisoner of King Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, I'm assuming, by the way, that you've heard about the plan of God's grace that was given to me to pass on to you. You know, the secret purpose that God revealed to me as I wrote you briefly just now. Anyway, when you've read this, you'll be able to understand the special insight I have into the King's secret. This wasn't made known to human beings in previous generations, but now it's been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. The secret is this, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are able to share Israel's inheritance. They are to become fellow members of the body along with them, and fellow sharers of the promise in King Jesus. This is the gospel that I was appointed to serve, in line with the free gift of God's grace that was given to me. It was backed up with the power through which God accomplishes his work. Hang on. I am the very least of all God's people. However, he gave me this task as a gift, that I should be the one to tell the Gentiles the good news of the King's wealth. Wealth no one could begin to count. My job is to make clear to everyone just what the secret plan is. The purpose that's been hidden from the very beginning of the world in God who created all things. This is it, that God's wisdom in all its rich variety was to be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places through the church. This was God's eternal purpose, and he's accomplished it in King Jesus our Lord. We have confidence and access to God in him, in full assurance through his faithfulness. So I beg you, don't lose heart because of my sufferings on your behalf. That's your glory. And what I'm just going to do is, I was just going to look at verse 1, verse 8 and verse 10. But now I'm going to scrap verse 1. And we'll just look at verse 8 and 10. But just before we get there, Paul refers us back to what we've heard in Ephesians already. Can you just put the next one up? He, in this version, uses the words, it's because of all this. In your New King James Version, it'll probably say, for this reason. A bit later on, I'm assuming, by the way, that you've heard, and when you read this, that I've already written. So he's starting this with a kind of a recap of what we've already heard and what's already been talked about on the last few Sundays. And he's doing that because he wants them to be secure in what he's already preached, because he's about to hit them with a really big new thought. And that's what is actually really important for us as we look forward to what we're doing next week. So I'm just going to do a speed recap of what we've learned about ourselves in Ephesians 1 and 2. I've just picked phrases out of those two chapters. We've learned that we're chosen by God in Jesus. We've learned that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, that we have been made holy, and that we are without blame, that we've been adopted as sons, that we're accepted, that we're redeemed, that we've got forgiveness, total and complete, that God's rich grace abounds towards each one of us, that we have a great hope and a great future with him and in him. We're secure. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We can have wisdom and revelation to truly know him. We can know the great calling that we have in him. We can know the rich and glorious inheritance we've got. We can know his exceeding great power at work towards us who believe. We are alive, not dead in our sins. We are loved greatly by God. We have the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. We're saved by grace. There's no more working for it. No more striving. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We've been brought near after being far off. We've got hope. We've got peace. We've got access to the Father. We're members of the household of God. We're being built together into a holy temple, which is the dwelling place of God. That's a pretty amazing list. That's the gospel. That's what we live in. And as if that isn't good enough, he's about to go on and give us something new to think about. Just skip the next slide. And we'll just go on to this one. We'll go to verse 8. And this is Tom Wright's version of verse 8. This is Paul speaking and saying, I'm the very least of all God's people. However, he gave me this task as a gift, that I should be the one to tell the Gentiles the good news of the king's wealth. Wealth no one could begin to count. Next one, please. The king's wealth is what he calls it. Wealth no one could begin to count. The New King James Version talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the Amplified is just fantastic. It talks about the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ. Riches, if you look it up, because I did, in the Greek, means wealth, but it means fullness. So it's not just money and possessions. We're talking about abundance, fullness. The richness and the fullness and the abundance of our new life in Jesus. Tom Wright calls it a new way of being human. And I love that thing that Kristen says, that Jesus didn't just come to show us what God looked like, but he came to show us how we could live fully human, but fully filled with God, us like him. Tom Wright sees, in this book, sees this wealth. He paints a picture of a palace, King Jesus in his palace. I just want to read you what he says. He says, this then is what Paul means by the king's wealth. He's referring to the richness of this new life that we have, the new way of being human that has now been unveiled in and through Jesus, together with the future hope it contains. The phrase may sound strange to many, both Christian and non-Christian, who have forgotten or perhaps never knew what can appear from the outside as a tedious or humdrum religious existence, all like going to church, in fact, is meant to be a delighted exploration of untold and inexhaustible riches. Being a Christian is meant to consist of going from room to room in the king's palace, relishing the beauty and the splendour of it all. When we come to know Jesus, we become completely different beings. Andy talked about this, didn't he? He talked about we were dead. We were dead, and now we've been made alive. And God has put his spirit within us, and we live as a temple of the Holy Spirit with God within us. We underestimate what we give out. I was in a meeting with the Clemmicks this week, and they're the ones who do heart styles, or teach them all about the heart. And they said it's actually been scientifically proven that the magnetic energy from our hearts can be felt 6 feet away. So when you're with somebody and they're giving off a bad vibe, they really are. What's going on in their heart is what can be felt up to 6 feet away. When we're filled with Jesus in our hearts and we're living with our hearts in this inexhaustible riches, this amazing life, that can be felt by the people around us. That scripture about the fragrance of Jesus, it can be felt as we go into Larchfield. You might not know it, but you're taking something different with you. If we could scan you next to somebody who didn't know Jesus on a special spiritual scanner, you'd look different. I was thinking it'd be like that Ready Brett glow thingy, you know? But actually, I don't think it would. It'd be this light within that's glowing and pulsating out. Jesus said, you're a light on a hill. How much will we let that light out? Will we let it go the full 6 feet or not? My kids are watching a fascinating program, a science program. It had Gavin Henson, the rugby player, on. That was quite nice, because he's quite nice, isn't he? He does well in our house because he's Welsh and he plays at rugby, so everybody was happy. But they were doing this incredible experiment where they had a machine that did 75,000 volts of electricity. And they were proving the physics, that actually you can pass it through a cage around you and it doesn't harm you. But what actually happened was it formed a current up to 3 meters away. So he was sitting in a little mini like this, and 75,000 volts was coming down on the top of the mini, going round the edge of the mini and lighting up neon tubes 3 meters away. And he's in the front of the car going, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Then the final challenge was for him to stand and then pass it through his body. But he wore like a chain link suit all over him, and he had like a rubber swimming hat on and this chain link suit all over him. And the 75,000 volts came into his head, went down through his body and out, and lit the neon lights 3 meters away. But he was fine, absolutely fine. And I thought, actually, that was just an amazing picture of God's power, this amazing power that's at work in us and available to us, that actually doesn't burn us up like a crisp. You know, it could do, couldn't it? But if we'll allow it, and if we're hidden in Jesus, it will pass over, through and out to us and have an effect around. So it's just an encouragement to you as we go into Larchfield next week. You are different. You are different people. And you have within you the most amazing riches. But there are riches that we can feast on. There's a place in Jesus to go, to spend time with him, to draw on him. And you might have heard the story of the poor family on the liner. There's a poor family, I will forget all the details properly, but there's a poor family who lived in a country and they needed to escape because they were severely oppressed and they wanted to go and make a new life. And they were poor, they sold everything they had, and had just enough to buy their tickets to escape on the liner to a new country. And they scrimped and they saved and they got a little bit of food together, enough to keep them going on the journey so they can get to their new life. So the ship docks, they go on board with all the other passengers and they hole themselves in their cabin, delighted to be fleeing the oppression that they've had and to be sailing away to a new life in a new country. And they eke their rations out to get to the end of the journey. But the ship hits bad weather and it takes longer to get to the new country than they expected, and their rations ran out. And the father sees his children starving and thinks, well, there's nothing for it. I'm just going to have to go and see if I can beg food from the captain's table. And so he plucks up all of his courage and he goes out and he meets a member of the crew. And he says, yeah, please, my children are starving. Can I beg some food from the captain's table to keep us going till we get to our new life? And the cabin member looked absolutely amazed. And he thought, oh, that's it. I'm about to be thrown off, me and my family. The crew member said, don't you realise the tickets that you bought included all the food you needed for the voyage? Don't you realise that you could have been in those dining rooms with all those people eating all that food, all that amazing spread that was there, breakfast, dinner and tea, you could have had it. And you chose not to because you didn't know. And that's a really amazing picture to me. They got that family, they got where they were headed. They got to their destination, the new land, but they got there weak, thin, and hungry. And too often that can be like us as Christians, can't it? There are amazing riches for us. There's a banqueting table spread out for us. There is every spiritual blessing in Christ, Ephesians told us earlier on, set out for us. But we can just not eat it because we don't realise that it's there, or because we don't choose to. And instead of arriving at our destination ready to go, fit and healthy, actually we get there the worse for wear. So it's just an encouragement for us to press into Jesus. He has so much for us. I often think of that banqueting table, and there's something in me. I always see myself sitting at the back, not quite daring to go and get something. Why is that? I don't know. It's not just my makeup. Is that being English? Is that the way I was brought up? I don't know. But Jesus says it's there. Come and get it. And let's build ourselves up as people in him from these inexhaustible riches that he has for us. And it doesn't cost us anything. Isaiah 55 says, come without money or price, come buy and eat. It doesn't cost us anything. It's all through his grace. And then we move to verse 10, and this is where Paul hits us with an amazing thought. Tom Wright tells us in this book that verse 10 is one of the New Testament's most powerful statements of the reason for the church's existence. This is it, that God's wisdom in all its rich variety was to be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places through the church. The church is to be, by the very fact of its existence, a warning to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms that their time is up, and an announcement to the world that there is a different way to be human. So there's two elements to that. There's in our own lives daily, as we feast on the immeasurable riches Christ has for us, and in Larchfield next week, as a body, individually but together, a mighty, powerful spiritual truth is being made real and is being worked out. Larchfield next week isn't just a do-goody Christian outreach program that James has thought up. It's not just us doing our bit because we kind of know, you know, we're supposed to do this as Christians. We are taking the love of Jesus out to Larchfield. Just as was prayed earlier, that is what we're doing. We're going as people who are different, who have found the source of life, who have found the inexhaustible riches. And we're taking it out and we're just demonstrating it by who we are. But also what we're doing is we are issuing a warning to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms that their time is up. And bottom line, it's all about the amazing love and grace that God has showered on us. So as we go out next weekend, it's not just about what we say. Obviously, our conversations that we have with one another, our conversations we have with Larchfield residents, the information point, any contacts we make with people are important. What we do is really important. James and his team have put together the most amazing program. It has been done excellently. And that is one thing I'd really honour James for. What he does excellently. You know, I'd have been tempted to make things a bit easier. You know, just miss a few bits out. But he's done it to the full, and he's done it excellently. And I just really commend him for that. So what we're going to do is give an excellent, inclusive program. We're going to treat people well, and we're going to shower God's love on them. So it's about those two things, but it's also about who we are. It's about who we are individually. It's about your relationship with Jesus. You being joined to him. One of the bits we missed out was Paul talking about him being a prisoner of Jesus. Locked away with Jesus. Locked away with him, safe, hidden in him. It's about our very essence as spirit-filled believers. It's about our daily relationship with Jesus. Just loving him, spending time with him, enjoying being with him. And it's about the state of our hearts, our magnetic field. Our electric current. What are we sharing by who we are? Just by who we are. And that's something I just really challenge you to go deeper in, to really grow deeper in, to really spend time with Jesus and absorb that from him, absorb it from him. But it's who we are as a body. It's who we are, you and I, all together. One person can't do this on their own, but as a body, there is unity, there's support for one another, and there's hopefully a good deal of love for one another. Our hearts need to be knit together, guys. That doesn't mean I agree with everything you say or you agree with everything I say, but it does mean that our hearts are absolutely knit together, that we love one another, that actually we honour one another. But above all, God's love and God's grace underpin who we are. So, just get to the end. There are two questions really to leave you with to think about. The first one, are we learning to explore the riches of Christ? Am I learning to live in the richness, in the fullness of him? If I go to that, back to that picture of the king's palace and exploring the rooms and finding the wealth, are we content just to stay in the outer hallways? Do we just stay in our room on the liner, on the ship? Are we learning to live in the riches of Christ? And the second question is this church, is our church, the sort and in the sort of life that we lead, posing the kind of challenge to the powers of evil which provokes a reaction? Paul was actually in prison because he'd done exactly that. He'd seriously irritated the enemy and he was in prison. But he said, I count it as joy. It's fantastic. I'm here because what I'm doing is making a difference. And I know James would say that he's been under pressure. Just a tiny bit, eh, James? And, you know, that's part and parcel of us living out there. But you know what came out of Paul's prison experience? These letters that we live by, that we've learnt so much from, that the world has been changed by. A tiny bit of earthly suffering. Look what it produced in eternal significance. And so for James and his team, and for every one of us, the discomfort, the inconvenience, the stress, the aggravation that there's been, think what that can accomplish eternally in the lives of people in Larchfield and in our own lives. So, Rob, will you come and kind of strum? Yeah. I don't know if you want to close your eyes. Just think again about those questions. God just so wants to love us this morning. He just so wants to encourage us. That was the feeling I had. This amazing life that we have to lead, he wants to encourage us into it. So can I ask you, are you learning to live in the richness and the fullness of Christ? Are you content just to stay in the outer hallways the great palace? Or do you want to say afresh, I'm going to come and explore, I'm going to come and open some doors, I'm going to come and see the wealth? And are our hearts knit together in this church, in the sort of life that poses the kind of challenge to the powers of evil, which Paul talks about? Issuing a warning to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms that their time is up and that there's a new way to be human. If your heart responds to either of those, it'd be really great if you could stand. I'd like to pray with us as a congregation. It's all about grace. It's all about grace. Ephesians starts, grace to you. It's about grace being saved, grace in the gifts God gave Paul. It's all God's goodness. Let's press in. So if you want to stand, please stand and let's pray. Jesus. Verse 12 talks about us having free and confident access to God himself. Back to the image of the king's palace. This is the throne room. This is the throne room. We can go right in where our loving Father welcomes us as beloved children into his presence. So Father, I just want to pray grace over every person that stood and every person that's seated. Your grace over us as individuals, as a congregation, on our journeys with you in Jesus into your riches, and on our journey into Larchfield next week. Your grace, God, your grace, your free and merited grace poured out over us. You are such a loving Father wanting to pour goodness and love on us. And Father, we just receive it. Father, take us deeper into you. Take us deeper into you, Lord. Make us fat in you, not thin and emaciated because we've not eaten what's there for us. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Lord, pour out your spirit on us and pour out your spirit on Larchfield. In Jesus' name, amen.